You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Pens and Stuff podcast, the only podcast on the internet that talks about the Penguins and still believes that they can make the playoffs. It's here, right now. At least I do. I'm Andrew.
I'm Jim.
And we are sans Abby yet again because life happens, but the show must go on.
Yeah, she had to work today, so it's rough, but such is life.
But it's Shabbat and she shouldn't be working, but you know what? Whatever. We are back, as we are every Saturday, to tell you how bad the Penguins suck. But yet, somehow, they're still going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Penguins.
Yeah, you said that earlier. I was thinking on the way over here that I was kind of almost, I'm kind of ready to throw in the towel on this team.
Oh my gosh.
This year, not forever, but.
Oh, okay.
I don't think, you know, look. Do I believe it's possible? Yes, I believe it's possible. Do I think they're going to? No, I really don't. Will I be pleasantly surprised if they do? Yes. Yes, I will. But I'm not willing to, you know, spend all of that emotional capital on something that in my mind is like a 10% chance of happening. So, I'm putting the Penguins on the back burner of my life for right now. I mean, I love them. I still root for them. I don't know if I will invest watching every game because quite frankly, that's just going to drain my emotional tank and make me no good for anybody else.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, it is. It is. Yep. But okay. So right now they're fifth in the wild card race. They're at 55 points. The Red Wings have that second wild card spot with 60. They have two games in hand on the Red Wings. So if they win those two games, that puts them at 59. The Red Wings are still at 60. So mathematically, they're still very much in the race.
I know. But you've seen this team.
Oh, I have.
You've seen this team as much as I have.
I've seen them go skate to skate, mano a mano, blow for blow with the Winnipeg Jets, who many believe are top 2-3 team in the league.
Yeah.
And they outplayed them in that Winnipeg game for the majority of that game, in my opinion.
The game they lost 4-1, 4-2.
They shut them out in 3-0.
Look, I'm not denying that.
So can they? Yes. But then they go and lose to the Wild and the Panthers. So it's like in glorious fashion, too, they lost to the Panthers.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, well, let's get into it. So, a week ago on the 10th, they played in Winnipeg, and they lost in Winnipeg. The final score was 2-1. Mark Scheifele and I believe it was Nino Ryder scored the two for Winnipeg. And Brian Rust scored in the second for the Penguins, but they fell short.
Yes.
So that's what happened. Jari played spectacularly in that game.
Yeah, he actually did. He was flat out amazing in that game. And
I mean, he was flat out amazing in the Florida Panthers game too. I mean, you know, I'm serious. You look at those goals and none of them were his fault. They were all either the Ekblad one and the Panthers. Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. But anyway, continue.
Yeah.
About the Jets.
Yeah. That was, yeah, it was a tough loss. It was a tough loss. But again, you're playing Winnipeg. Winnipeg, like, as you said, is one of the top two, three teams in the league. I think Florida is coming into their own and they're becoming one of the top two, three teams in the league. I really think that the Penguins, and I might get some hate mail for this, but the Penguins mediocrity, really showed up actually, in my opinion, on all three of these games. Even in the 4-1 win against Chicago, there it was rough. My grade for this week is not going to be high. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
that's where I am.
Well, and if you've been listening to the podcast for any amount of time, this is going to sound like white noise, but you look at the power play percentage, both zero for both teams, but the Penguins had three shots on the power play.
Three power play opportunities.
No. It was power play opportunities. Three power play opportunities is what I meant.
Okay.
I don't know how many shots they had on the power play. Probably two. But, well, let's look. We'll go to the box score and we can find out.
Well, yeah.
Maybe. No, we can't. They don't give you power play shots.
You know who does?
Who?
Hockey Reference.
There were only five shot attempts on the power play.
On how many power plays? Excuse me.
Three.
Three power plays.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not okay.
No, it's not okay.
Not at all.
And then let's look at the Jets. They had zero shots on the power play. So, and on their one attempt. So
look, and that's fine. I mean, I have no issue with the Penguins penalty kill. I have an issue with the power play.
No. Yeah.
When you have the man advantage, you've got to come through. That's just the way it is. And they're not. Haven't been for a long time. And I don't know why things haven't changed in the coaching situation. You know, like, why are we not seeing, I don't know. Why are we not seeing differences here?
I agree. It's unacceptable is what it is. It really is. And, I mean, something should have happened after this next game here. The 5-2 loss against Florida in Pittsburgh, excuse me. This was Jaromir Jagr night.
The Florida game?
The night he was getting his jersey. Yeah, I believe so. His jersey retired was this night. But the Panthers quickly go up here 4-0 from goals from Tkachuk, Gladjevic. Never even heard of that guy, so that's embarrassing. Aaron Ekblad on the power play. Anton Lindell, I think, is his name.
Yes.
And he scores again in the third. And then John Ludvig gets his first NHL goal ever. And Brian Rust scores as well, which is definitely not Brian Rust's first goal. But we dropped the season series to Florida 3-0. So, yeah, this was Jagr night. I know because it was against the Panthers, and they don't have another game against the Panthers. So,
yep.
This was a tough loss to swallow. And here's what I'm going to say. I saw people on the Twitter, on Instagram, lambasting Jari in this game. But in watching the highlights of the game, Jari's not to blame at all. Jari made many great saves. The Penguins were just outplayed consistently. They made many bad turnovers, lots of odd man rushes. There was one, I think it was the Matthew Tkachuk goal, that they just, Carlson hung him out to dry. He was back in, like, it was a 2-on-1. Carlson was skating up the middle of the ice, not taking away the pass, not taking away the shot. And a beautiful pass from Rodriguez just puts Tkachuk in a great position to make a shot. So, I mean,
yeah.
And all of these goals, the Ekblad one, Jari got screened by Carter on the power play. Like, and Ekblad just made a wicked wrister shot. You know, like, there was one of these, the fifth goal. It got popped up in the air, and Jari just could not find it, and it just fell in the back of the net. That's not on him. Like, you know, I don't think it's on him. And it was just, it was a tough, tough watch. I mean, I only watched the highlights, and I was ready to pull my eyes out with a spoon.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was bad. It was real bad.
Yeah. Again, it's,
we don't score on the power play.
No, we simply don't.
Yeah. And something else I noticed in this one and the Jets one, we just ran into hot goalies as well.
Like, well, and that's been the, that's
two
been
really great goalies.
That's been the mantra for the entire year. It's like every time we step into the rink, the other team's goalie is going to be have a great night.
Marty Berdur.
Yeah. And it is frustrating. It is absolutely frustrating.
Yeah. And then we finally get a nice palate cleanser from the week.
Yeah.
The Penguins go into what is their arena called?
United Center.
United Center. Yeah, there it is.
Yep.
And shellac the Blackhawks in.
Is it really a shellacking though? I mean, seriously, to score,
I think it was a shellacking.
To score only four goals against the hapless.
No, I mean, they're not
Blackhawks.
They got a lot of young guys ready to prove they're good. And
I guess
they it was Bedard's return, so they were raring to go from his jaw injury. And but Crosby scores two. Riley Smith gets on the board, and Brian Rust scores a shorthanded empty netter.
Did he slap it in?
I hope so. I hope so. I mean, no, actually, we can't slap it in. Ottawa deserved that because Toronto's a bunch of
thugs,
crybabies.
Watch it now. That's the team I'm really paying attention to here now.
I've got nothing to say.
Yeah, you got nothing to say.
Toronto's terrible. And the fact that, okay, sorry, sidebar. The fact that people are defending Riley Smith about
that. Oh, like, I'm not. That was awful.
I'm like, dude.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Screw off. Like, obviously, you can start throwing punches, but you can't go up and cross check the man in the face.
No,
like,
that's,
you just can't do that.
That's ridiculous.
Especially when you're a quote unquote leader of the team. Anyway, yeah, so I'll take it back. It wasn't a shellacking. It was a good game. It was a palate cleanser. It was nice to finally beat a team. And again, we're 0-for-1 on the power play in this game. So we went 0-for-8 this week on the power play.
Yeah. Very, very.
Not okay. But
very bad.
Yeah.
And
it is what it is.
And it's not going to get any better because the five of the next six games are against teams whose power play are in the top 10. Did you know that?
The power play
or penalty kill.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry.
Like, our penalty kill can go toe to toe.
No, no, I agree. I meant the other team's penalty kill. I believe I haven't really completely researched that, but. So this week is the Kings.
The Kings. That's a win. Should be.
The Islanders and the Canadiens. Yeah. So.
Okay. But before we get into next week, let's talk about our grade for this week.
Okay.
Jim, go ahead.
Give him a C-.
Okay.
That's where I am.
Okay. I'm right there with you. I'll give them a C. You can't go to C- because I think they played very well against the Jets. Just couldn't get any past Hellebuyck, which very few can. I like the Chicago game more than you apparently, and the Florida game is just forget about it. That's that there is an F game. But then, you know, you get a B for the Jets game probably, and then a B plus for the Blackhawks game, and then, you know, put that together and it's a nice C week there for the Penguins.
Yeah. So okay.
Something we need to talk about.
Okay, I need to restate something. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Two of these six games that we have coming up in the next 2 weeks, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, yes. Penalty kills are 1 and 2. Los Angeles is number one.
Okay.
Philadelphia is number two.
Los Angeles is number one.
Yes. Vancouver's penalty kill is number 13. And then, who else we got? Montreal, Seattle, and the Islanders are way down there. So Seattle's 21. Islanders are the last. So maybe we score something there. Montreal's 29. So I was wrong in that. But okay. three of the six teams that we play over the next 2 weeks are in the top 15.
Yeah, that's wild to me that the Islanders are that low, because they have not changed since Barry Trotz was their coach.
Well, look at this.
They used to be top five every year.
So the difference between, okay, so let's say that the Vancouver is at 80.6. The Islanders are 71.7. So there's not a huge span of difference there.
No.
But still, that's how they rank.
Yeah.
Los Angeles's penalty kill is at 87%. Philadelphia is at 86%.
No one's in 90 this year?
No one's
normally
in 90.
Normally there's a team that's like 90, no. 91.
No. Pittsburgh's 11, 81.5. But if you look at power plays, let's see. Power plays. Looking for the Islanders are 12th in the power play. Vancouver's 10th in the power play. Los Angeles is 15, Seattle 16, Montreal 18. Who else are we playing this week? Pittsburgh's 30. Philadelphia is only 30, is 31. So they're worse than Pittsburgh, believe it or not, in the power play. So
no power play goals will be scored in that game.
And you know what? Here's the thing. Okay. I don't remember how many games ago, Pittsburgh Philly games ago it was, but overtime, right? And
yeah,
Trotz sent a guy out on the ice when
towards
Pittsburgh had like a what did I say? Trotz. I'm sorry. Tortorella sent out an extra player, took the penalty.
Yeah. Yep.
And it didn't hurt him. They didn't score on that power play.
Winning that game, didn't they?
Philadelphia won that game.
Yeah, I think so.
And you know, you say what a butt licker move, but it was pretty smart when you think about it.
It was. He knew the analytics.
Yep. So anyway.
Yeah.
So that's where we are this week. C minus yep. for me. What did you give him?
A C.
Okay. So we're in the same ballpark.
Yeah, we would probably give him a B plus. I don't know. Bruh. But we've got some news to talk about. Jake Guentzel injured his wrist.
Yes.
I don't know what game it was. I believe it was
Florida.
Florida
Panthers. It was the Florida game.
Probably because Florida's a bunch of no good pieces of garbage. but he is out.
Who win?
For a while.
Yeah. Is his wrist broken?
It's an upper body, so I don't know. The Penguins announced that Guentzel is expected to miss up to 4 weeks. So only 4 weeks.
Oh.
But
that's brutal. When he's the pretty much the only guy who's scoring for you, that's brutal.
Yeah. Although I will say, I mean, it was against the Blackhawks, but Rickard Rakell playing with Rust and Crosby on that first line, it looked pretty nice. I'm gonna be honest.
Okay.
But Jansen Harkins is also out with a concussion. So what might this look like? So 4 weeks, from Valentine's Day will take him up past the trade deadline. It'll take him up to the 13th, technically, ish. He could come back before that. But what would that look like for trade deadline stuff, for the Penguins possibly moving off him since there's been no contract brought back? And you had an interesting take on it. I'll let you think about it or rant about it here. But yeah, just take it away.
Well, one of the things that I, you know, when I hear this news about Gensel, my first thought is it's going to be hard to get anything for an injured player, even someone the caliber of Gensel. So trade deadline help. You have no capital now, unless you're going to trade Malkin, unless you're going to trade Letang, unless you're going to trade Carlson. You really have no trade capital at this point to really do anything with. And in all honesty, what have these guys, the guy with the exception of maybe Letang, what have these guys done this year that would make them appealing to another team to give up some pieces for?
I mean, it would technically just be history, you know. Oh, you're getting Evgeny Malkin. You're getting
Conn Smythe winner. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You're getting, yeah, Calder Trophy, Conn Smythe, Evgeny Malkin. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but you're also getting what? 32-year-old Evgeny Malkin.
34.
Yeah. So here was my take, and you and I, we chatted about this online a little bit.
Excuse me, 37.
30. Well, it's
even, 37 year
old. It keeps getting worse. Anyway,
it does. You're just dropping his trade stock now.
To me, it seems like the Penguins are in a corner. They're not going to get a quality piece that's going to help them into a playoff position. At least that's my opinion. And I think that this team will not make the playoffs this year. I know you introduced the program as the only program who believes that the Penguins can make it.
I mean, I was talking about myself personally.
I want to believe, you know, I'm like the kid from Polar Express. I want to believe. But I just, there's nothing in this team that I have seen over the last 2 months that would tell me that there's any reason to hope. Now, Kyle Dubas might surprise the heck out of all of us and do something amazing and bring about a trade that nobody saw coming and will bring in some pieces that will absolutely whip this team into shape. Maybe what needs to happen is we need to drop some of this older weight. No offense. And quite frankly, I think Dubas has to come at this with an attitude like nobody's safe.
Yeah.
And
out of Crosby.
Maybe.
I
understand what Crosby, you're saying. Crosby so much, is Crosby Pittsburgh.
So much to the Penguins.
And exactly.
Pittsburgh that
I know that.
Trade him. He's more than just a hockey player. Plus, he's been playing really well this year.
Agreed. But what I'm saying is that you have to light a fire under this team somehow.
Yeah, for sure.
And the only way that that's going to happen, I mean, I think it's too late in the season to fire the coach. So I don't think that's going to happen. Plus Dubas being a brand new general manager, I don't think he has the cachet to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You have to do something that's going to shake this team awake, because we all know that this team has the ability to go on a tear, to go on a run, but it's just, I've been listening to guys this week who have said, well, for example, I heard someone say after the Florida loss that the only person who looked any good on that ice was Evgeny Malkin. And I'm like, well, then why isn't it showing? I mean, yeah, he's going after people. He's playing tough. He's picking fights, which, okay, that's fine. But I've got, this is Evgeny freaking Malkin. I've got to see his name show up on the score sheet somewhere, whether he's putting in goals or making assists, none of that. And I'm not seeing it. And so something's got to shake up. Something's got to wake this team up. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know if, to be honest, I don't know if the Penguins are sellers at the deadline. Maybe we start building up some draft capital so that we can begin the rebuild. Maybe that's where we've got to be. And maybe as Pittsburgh fans, we've got to say, hey, that's a very real possibility and we got to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So Penguins just picked up on waivers, I believe yesterday, Matthew Phillips from the Washington Capitals. He's a 25-year-old or coming up on 26-year-old, drafted by the Flames. Has played 30 games in the NHL, played 27 with the Washington Capitals this year, put up 1 goal, 4 assists, 5 points. He's a -2. So
what position is something. He? Defenseman?
And I think that's the way he's a forward.
Okay.
I think that's the way Dubas has been going about, making this team younger. Because, we can't trade for anyone. No one super young, super good is going to be on the block.
Well, and no one super good and super young are going to necessarily want to come to Pittsburgh right now. Well, I was just going to say because there's really nobody's playing up to their potential right now. Why would you want to come to a team that's meh? You might be able to make this team better. I don't.
Yeah.
There's no one out there right now on a team that's garbage that I think could really change the culture here.
No, the one person I keep going back to is Trevor Zegras.
Maybe
that would be something awesome. But again, I don't think Trevor Zegras makes this team an instant contender.
Nope.
But I could see a team wanting Carter at the deadline. I could see a team wanting
Riley
Smith at the deadline. Jake Gensel is a very real possibility. I wouldn't mind seeing Ricardo Calgon. He's 30, making $6 million for the next, 4 years. It's not showing up.
Well, the Penguins are going to have to retain some of that if they trade him, though, right? Some of those larger contracts?
Maybe unless we get someone who's on a 1 year, $5 million deal back the other way, who's, expendable for the other team, like a Boston or a Tampa who has a guy making $5 million who they just want to offload for this year. It's not doing much. Bring in someone who's cap, steady at the number that he's on for a while.
Maybe.
Lars Eller could be going the other way. But Jay Gensel's injury definitely puts a wrench in the plans for the trade deadline. Not saying that I want to get rid of him at all.
No.
But, he's second on our team in points, 52 and 50. Gosh. That's hard to say, let's just get rid of him. But, he may be looking at the water saying, we're old, we're not making the playoffs this year. I want to go compete somewhere else,
Mm-hmm.
Like he has one cup and that was his rookie year. So
yeah,
man, it's
it's a sad situation
right now.
It is certainly a sad situation.
Yeah. So with that being said, trade deadline's up in 2 weeks. It's March 8th. I believe it's a Friday. It is. We'll see. It's going to be fun. I always love the trade deadline. I've loved it more when the Penguins are buyers and not sellers.
Yes, agreed.
The past few years. But, we could go on a run, just absolutely rip off a couple and find ourselves in a wild card spot and be like, we could do this and start moving. But again, we don't have cap space. I think most of the moves that we would end up making are hockey moves, trade a Raquel for someone who's making less cap and is older or something. I don't know.
And maybe that's a smart thing to do.
I mean, when you're a team with Crosby, Malkin, you don't go complete seller, I don't think, ever. But I mean, a hockey move, you know, Jake Guentzel for someone who's on a longer term deal, but maybe a little worse, you know, like someone you could see growing into something. I don't know.
I guess my question always comes back to, we can't keep, I'm trying to think of a way to say this that's not going to get me, that's not going to lose us, you know, listeners. But I don't know how much longer you can continue to rest on Sid and Gino. I mean, you have, if there's one thing that Pittsburgh fans are accused of more than anything, it's living in the past.
Yeah.
And
I mean, tell that to Leaf fans.
Agree. Oh, no. I'm look, no, this is complete introspection here. This is complete introspection. This is nothing to do. I'm not looking to bash any other team. I'm just saying,
except the Leafs,
that if we don't begin to start looking at the future, we are going to be a meh. I mean, it's
for sure.
What I'm seeing now is what I saw in the late 90s, early 2000s with the Penguins.
Oh brother, don't tell me that.
I mean, seriously, until Sid came along, I mean, we are in a situation right now where, as a team, we're probably going to have to go through a couple of really horrible years to get to a point where we can draft a guy like Bedard or McDavid or Crosby or Malkin, Lemieux, like we did, you know, in those, you know, in 84 and in 05.
Okay, we didn't have a bad season. Have a bad season to draft Crosby. We just got lucky because that was the year after the lockout.
So 84, we get Lemieux. 05, 21 years later, we get Crosby. So if the math works out, we're only a couple of years from getting our next guy, right?
Michael Mesa. Let's go.
We'll see. we'll see.
But let's get the prediction for this week. Underway here. We got three games again. Like you said, we got the Kings on Sunday, we got the Islanders on a Tuesday, and we got the Habs on a Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yep.
All on SN Pittsburgh, Sportsnet Pittsburgh. So, yep. Predictions.
3.
Okay.
Maybe 4.
That's a safe bet.
I'd say
I'm going to do what I did this last week and say we're going to go all 6-0, 6-6. But
yeah, don't say that again, because
eventually, if I say that,
eventually you're going to get it right.
Gloat.
Well, I'll tell you what.
No end.
Now, I hate to say this, but March is typically Pittsburgh's month.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what happens.
Which is why I'm going to Pittsburgh in March, because I was like, well, this is the only time they're going to actually win anything. So.
Well, the March schedule is not friendly.
It's not friendly to the Penguins, but
not at all.
It is March, you know? I mean, we got the Flames, the Oilers, the Blue Jackets, easy win. The Capitals, Bruins, Oilers,
Ottawa, Senators,
Sharks,
Rangers. Sharks should be an easy win. Red Wings, Devils, yep. Dallas, Stars, Colorado,
Carolina, Blue Jackets again, and then Blue Jackets again.
So we play the Blue Jackets 3 times. We play Edmonton twice. We play San Jose, which should be a win.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
Dallas is going to be tough. New Jersey is going to be tough. Carolina's
going to
be tough.
As I'm looking at March, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 games that we should win. Everything else.
The 3 Blue Jackets games, the Senators and the Sharks. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying the 3 Blue Jackets games, Washington and the Sharks.
Oh, wow. I don't know. Washington has been looking very decent recently.
Recently. Yeah, I mean,
Ovi's kind of gotten back to what Ovi's should have been this entire season and been scoring. So
we'll see.
And plus, it's Washington, Pittsburgh. That game will always be
yes,
toasty. Plus, that's one right after the deadline or right before the deadline too. That's the 7th deadline's 8th. People could already be gone.
That's true. That's true.
So
well, both ways. Both ways on that team.
Yeah, true. True.
Those two teams.
I could see, Coke Snetsoff leaving, Backy leaving.
Yeah, you have no idea what that's going to look like come.
Yeah.
Come the.
So you say 4 for this week. I say 6. Abby would probably say, what would you say? 3, because she's lame and coddled.
I think she'd say 4.
She might say 6. The Kings are the only one I'm nervous about because we beat the Islanders already 7-0. And I think they came back and beat us 7-0. But
yeah,
we won't talk about that.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. And then Montreal.
Well, Montreal's been playing us tough this year.
They are too.
Which,
yep, because you're not wrong.
Yeah, you might be right. 3, 4. But yeah, let's take a break and come back with random crap we want to talk about today.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Some of their lines look like this, and these are some of that I love. I love the Chicago Blackhawks at +1.5 goals this Saturday at -148, and the Washington Capitals at -1.5 goals at +205. I also love the Dallas Stars to win the West this year on a futures bet at +500. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
All right, welcome back, guys. This is a little bit of a serious note. A couple nights ago, I was laying in bed thinking about hockey and thinking about the podcast. And I'm going to cry now already. But I was just thinking how special it is to have something. You know, I moved out. And I moved to a completely different state, and then my family moved to another state, and so we don't see each other as often as we used to. I was just thinking how special it is to have something that's been going on for 5 years now, and that is just a constant that we can get on and we talk about hockey. We may not talk to each other throughout the entire week, but we're here. And Abby's not here because she's a loser. But we get on here and we talk about hockey. And, you know, and this started 4-5 years ago. Me going to dad and be like, hey, you want to start a podcast and talk about hockey? And how crazy it is that my dad was like, yeah, let's do it. Like, I know it's very special and I'm very blessed. And then, you know, 2 years later, having Abby join us and just... You know, we went through times where we didn't record for a couple months and we were like, let's do it again. We know Penguins are doing good now. Let's talk about it.
And, yeah, we were pretty fair weather back in the day, weren't we?
Yeah. And now we're here and it's become something. You know, we joined the Hockey Podcast Network where we got DraftKings and
it's amazing.
I was just thinking how blessed I am to have something that's, you know, we may not talk to each other as a family for a week, but we're here and we talk about it and then, you know, we're done. We say, I love you. And then we don't talk for a whole week, but it's just, it's super awesome.
That's, now that's not always true. Don't make it sound like we never talk to each other except on the podcast.
But it's just something that I know I'm blessed to have. And so,
yeah, I would echo that and just say, I'm super glad that you had the idea to do it. And, you know, and even though, you know, when we started out, we weren't all that consistent. We did. Do you remember some of the crazy crap we did when we did prediction contests, like week to week, and whoever lost the prediction contest would have to do the
rip duct tape on their arm and wear earrings out and about.
Yeah. That was kind of some crazy stuff we did. And if we had been a video podcast, that probably would have been a lot more.
It would have flown better.
It probably would have flown a lot better. But,
starting with a mic in the middle of a table.
Yep.
With traffic going back and forth.
Yep.
To where we are now. It's wild.
Yeah. And you can hear the trucks going by in some of those early episodes. And that was a lot of fun. But I super enjoyed I've enjoyed every minute of it, Andrew. Yeah. And having Abby come on board and be a part of it. It was just it's something, like you said, it's something that I look forward to every week. It is very special. Yeah. And none of this would be possible if it weren't for the people who listen to our podcast either. And so we want to thank you guys because if we hadn't had people listening
to us, we would still be doing it. But it makes it more fun to have people actually listen.
Yeah, I don't think the Hockey Podcast Network would have necessarily come and said, "Hey, we want you guys to be part of our little family here." If people weren't listening to it, and so we just want to thank you too. So
yeah,
cool. Thanks for sharing that, Andrew. That was pretty cool.
You're welcome.
All right. And now it's time for random crap we want to talk about today. And here is Andrew with the top 45 of the last 45.
There you go. Yeah. So for those of you guys who are new to the podcast, we have been doing this thing the past 2 months ish where put together a scientific method. Or not a scientific method, a scientific list of the best 45 players in the last 45 years in the NHL. And, I don't have my notes here. So, anyway. So far we have had a good number of, good responses to this. And so we continue to do it.
Are we in the top 20? Are we starting the top 20 this week?
We are starting 20 through 11 is today because we
we're going okay. So we need to
because we didn't get to do it last week because of time constraints.
We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on each of these, are we?
No, they'll just be a little bit. They'll be quick.
All right, cool.
So the list from yesterday, or not from yesterday, from the last 40 or the last, just saying, I got up. So the list from the whole list is this. Here we go. We got Chris Letang at 45, Duncan Keith at 44, Jonathan Toews 43, Andrei Vasilevskiy 42, Mike Modano at 41, Austin Matthews at 40, Erik Karlsson at 39, Ed Belfour at 38, Martin St. Louis at 37, Heinrich Lundqvist at 35, Marin Hossa at 34, Tuukka Rask at 33, 32 is Pavel Datsyuk, 31 at Patrice Bergeron, 30 Joe Nieuwendyk, 29 Adam Oates, 28 Timo Salani, 27 Ron Francis, 26 Scott Niedermeyer, 25 Jerome McGinley, 24 is Brendan Shanahan, 23 Patrick Kane, 22 Larry Murphy, and 21 Jaromir Jagr. And that's where we are now. So, for those of you guys who are complaining about, Gordie Howe, why is he not on here yet? Or whatever, it's the last 45 years. It's from 1997 1979, excuse me, to where we are at now in 2024. So that is why, you know, some older guys aren't on it and some newer guys aren't on it either. You know, I'm not going to put Connor Bedard on here yet, guys. There's not enough of a
sample size yet.
Yeah. So, and there have been guys that probably should have made it that, you know, didn't, i.e. Flower, Brad Marchand, you know, Brett Burns, Patrick Marleau, Joe Thornton. You know, there are guys that just missed the cut because there can only be 45. So here we go. Number 20, drum roll. Oh, why didn't that come? Oh, there we go. Chris Chelios, defenseman. So Chris Chelios, for me, the name is forever tied to the Detroit Red Wings. But as you can see by the picture, he played for Chicago as well as Montreal and a year with the Atlanta Thrashers, which is wild. Yeah. Chris Chelios played 26 years in the NHL, putting up 948 points in 1,651 games. He brought winning wherever he went, making the postseason 24 years out of a possible 26, missing out in the 2009-10 season and the 1997-98 season. He's a three-time cup winner, winning one with Montreal and two with the Red Wings in 85-86, 01, 02, and 08. He also lost three times. Once against the Flames as a Montreal Canadian, and twice, one as a Blackhawk and one as a Red Wing, both against the Penguins. I looked, and he did not put up any stats in the 08-09 season, but they said he played for the Red Wings in the 08-09 season. So I said he lost, but he might not have. I'm not sure. The stats for Chelios were wild. I cannot find
little wonky
answers anywhere. Different wherever I went.
Hmm.
Yeah. So all this puts Chelios at number 20. Now, here I had someone different, but then when I was working on the list, I was like, this guy does not deserve to be up higher than them. So he got bumped down to 19, and that guy is Connor McDubstep.
There he is, Connor McDavid.
I know you're
going to get some flack for that, but that's okay. That's okay.
I know I will, and I don't care. Connor McDavid, you know, this is, it may be, you know, me being only alive when Connor McDavid's been playing, you know, I didn't get to see some guys like Timo Solani or whatever, but Connor McDavid, everyone says he's one of the best players they've ever seen. So like, and they were alive with Gretzky and Lemieux and Crosby and all these guys. So I'm putting him here, and it's kind of a projection, you know, as well. Like I predict that he'll do some things, but here's why. He has put up 324 goals and 603 assists for 927 points in 616 games. He's averaging 1.45 points per game, 1.5 points per game. He's led the league in goals once, assists four times, and points five times in only 8.5 seasons. This is his ninth season. He's in. He's accumulated 5 Art Rosses, 4 Ted Lindsay's, 3 Hearts, 6 All-Star teams, and 1 Rocket Richard. His trophy room loaded. Now, the reason he's not any higher is because of his playoff resume. He's only made the playoffs 5 times in 8 seasons, making the third round only once, the second round 3 times, and the first round 2 times. The Oilers have had great teams every year. And their goaltending has been suspect. But and when you have Connor McDavid alongside Leon Draisaitl, you should be doing better than you are. And so, yes, like, to me, McDavid, same reason Jagr's so low. He can't win. He can't push a team to the cup. Like, all these guys have been at least to a cup final. Most of these guys have been to a cup final. Most of these guys have won a cup. And outside of who hasn't? Oh, Henrik Lundqvist hasn't won a cup. And I think Erik Karlsson. But I think those are the Austin Matthews. But I think those are the only two guys who haven't won a cup on this list. And McDavid. So it's like, you know, in the 8 years McDavid has been in the league, he's been a great goal scorer, elite playmaker. But unfortunately, that's all he is. Not a winner. So 19th on the list. 18th. Sergei Fedorov.
Oh, yeah.
Fedorov played 1,248 games. He's over there by Scott Niedermayer. In 18 years across 4 teams with the, he played with the, oh my gosh, I lost my notes. Fedorov played 1,248 games in 18 years across 4 teams. He played with the Red Wings, the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, the Columbus Blue Jackets, and the Washington Capitals. He put in 483 goals, 696 assists for 1,179 points. He won. Can you hear that?
No.
Okay, sorry. Someone turned on a snowblower. He won two Selkies, one Hart, and a Ted Lindsay, both in 93 and 94. He was nominated to one All-Star team. In the playoffs, his stat line is 15 years out of the 18 years he played. He made the playoffs 15 years out of the 18 years. He posted 42 goals and 124 assists and 176 points in 183 games. He made the Stanley Cup four times, losing one and winning three in 96, 97, 97, 98, and 01, 02, all with the Detroit Red Wings. He never won a Conn Smythe, but three cups are still impressive. Altogether, Sergei's resume, pretty impressive. So he slots in at number 18. Like, guys, you can't get mad, please, for me. This was very difficult. Any of these guys could have been, you know, pretty much anywhere on this list. But this next guy, number 17, Stevie Y. Stevie Y is known as one of the most remarkable players turned general managers ever. But let's discuss his playing career first before we get into his, front office career. 22 years in the NHL, wild, but he played all of them with the Red Wings. Also,
yep.
Wild.
Yep.
Man after my own heart. 1,514 games were played, and he put up 1,755 points, divided as 692 goals and 1,063 assists, getting a Ted Lindsay in 89-90, a Conn Smythe in 97-98, a Frank Jelly Selke in 90-2000, one All-Star nod, and a Bill Masterton in 02-03. He's also the longest-serving captain of a single team in the NHL, as he spent 19 seasons wearing the C for the Red Wings.
That's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. His postseason success looks like this. 20 years in the playoffs out of 22. 196 games played, putting up 105 points in those games. 70 goals, 115 assists. He averaged about 10 games per appearance, making the Stanley Cup four times, winning and losing the same as Sergei Fedorov. And after retirement in 06, he became the team's vice president for the Red Wings. And in 2010, he became the vice president and general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning, making them who they are today, drafting the likes of Andrei Vasilevsky, Braden Point, Nikita Kucherov, Anthony Cirelli. Stevie Y won the General Manager Year Award in 2015 and returned to Detroit as the general manager in 2019. All this makes him the 17th best player in the last 45 years. Now, I'm interested to see what you think about this one. Number 16, Mario Lemieux. Didn't even look up.
No.
Number 16 is Brett Hall.
You're full of crap.
I'm joking. Brett Hall. Brett Hall played from 1986 to 2006, playing on five different teams, from the St. Louis Blues, then the Stars, Red Wings, Flames, and the Coyotes. He put up 1,391 goals points in 1,269 games, putting out in 741 goals and 650 assists. He won a Hart Trophy and a Ted Lindsay in 90-91, a Lady Bing in 89-90, and was nominated to the All-Star team three times. His playoff resume is the main reason that he made it up at 13.
Yeah.
Or he's not at 13. Sorry, 16. He made it 19 times to the playoffs, playing 202 games in the postseason, posting 190 points. He won two Stanley Cups, once with the Dallas Stars, in 98-90, and the Red Wings in 01-02. I'm going to tell you, the Red Wings have that 01-02 team has a lot of representation here in these 10 players. Yep. Finally, Brett Hall, he played on five teams in the span of 19 years, which is why he fell. He was originally at 13. He fell to 16. And so that's Brett Hall. Number 15, a man we all know and love. We like to crap on sometimes. Gino Machino, number 15.
There he is.
This list would not be complete without him, so let's talk about him.
Okay.
Gino has... What? What did you say?
I said, okay, let's talk about him.
Okay,
I'm with you.
Gino's played 1,112 games. I think that might be different now. I think that might be 13 from this last game here. But with 487 goals and 783 assists, totaling 1,270 points and an average of 1.14 points per game. Award-wise, he has been awarded a Calder in 06-07, two Art Ross trophies, a Ted Lindsay, and a Hart trophy in 11-12. His success, he has made it to the playoffs 16 years out of a possible 17, missing only 2022-23.
And possibly this year.
He didn't play in 10-11 because of an injury, but his team still made it to the playoffs that year, so I count it. He put up 180 points in 177 games, 67 goals, and 113 assists. Win three Stanley Cups. We all know this, guys. Repeat with me. 2008-09, 2015-16, and 2016-17. Losing one in 07-08 as well. He also won Smythe Trophy in 08-09.
Yep, Conn Smythe winner.
Gino could be higher on the list, but the reason he's not is because he played with Sid and Tanger. Both guys made the list, so he can't be higher. Now, this one might be a little interesting. I don't know how you guys feel about this one, but I put Mike Bossy on this list, and he got put up high. The man only had 8 years in our span. He played 10. It's only a total of 10. But he played eight in the span here, so we only talk about those eight. But the reason he's so high is, looking at his stats, he's a total unit. His points are off the chart, averaging 1.5 points per game in only eight seasons. His totals look like this: 451 goals, 458 assists, 909 points in 599 games. 599 games, almost put up 1,000 points. He won a Calder, eight All-Star teams, one Conn Smythe in 81-82, and three Lady Bings. He also won four Stanley Cup champions. He was on the Islanders team that went back-to-back-to-back-to-back. His postseason resume, 112 games played, put up 148 points. He led the playoffs in goals three times and points once. He was on the New York, like I said, he was on that New York team. So just looking at this, his hardware, his stats, everything, and only in 8 years and all on the same team, it's wild. So Mike Bossy is at number 14. Argue with me if you want.
No.
Now, this is the guy that I had at 19 and got bumped all the way up to 13 after thinking about it. Joe Sakic.
I'm not going to disagree with you.
No. I looked at his stuff and I was like, how did I have, you know, all these guys ahead of him? So Joe Sakic is a well-known name in the hockey world. You guys all know him. One of the greatest players in the 90s. He put up 1,641 points, in 625 goals, 1,016 assists. He won two Stanley Cup championships in 95-96 and 2001, both with the Avalanche. During his 20-year career, he brought home the Conn Smythe, a Hart Trophy, a Ted Lindsay, a Lady Bing, and three All-Star team nods. He played with the Nordiques Avs for all 20 years of his career, man after my heart, like you guys know. He played 1,378 games with them. Sakic made the playoffs 13 years out of the 20 years he played, so a little less winning of a player than I would like, but he played 1,172 games, averaging 13 games per postseason appearance, which means he averaged about the second round each time. He posted 188 points on his resume, on his postseason resume, putting up 84 goals and 104 assists. Sakic brought it on the ice not only as a player, but also a leader. He was the captain of the Avalanche from 1992 till his retirement in 2009. And following the end of his playing career, Sakic continued with the Avalanche in a management capacity, first serving as an executive advisor and alternate general manager from 11 to 13. And he was promoted to executive vice president of hockey operations in 2013 and named general manager the following year. He oversaw the team rebuild and won the franchise's third Stanley Cup victory in 2022, and Sakic won the general manager of the year shortly after that. And then he was promoted to president of hockey operations. So Joe Sakic is number 13, wild career. At number 12, we have a goalie here. Can you guess who it is?
Number 12, a goalie?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's either the Dominator or Marty Brodeur.
Oh, it didn't go. Dominic Hasek. Yep.
Yep.
He won the cup with that 0-1-0-2 team, the Detroit Red Wing team.
Yep.
Which is wild. But Hasek is arguably the best goalie in the last 45 years, but he's only the second best on my list. He's played 16 years in the NHL, won 389 games in that time period. He played 735. Posting a career save percentage of .922 and a goals against of 2.20. He also had 81 shutouts in his career. His stat totals, I already told you, 389 wins, but 223 losses and 95 ties, overtime shootout losses. He led the league in save percentage six times, and goals against twice. He had two seasons with the GAA under 2 and 13 seasons at 2.5 or under. Hmm. His postseason record is even better. 65 wins, 49 losses, a save percentage of .925 and a goals against of .202. Man, wild.
Amazing.
He's won two Stanley Cups, both with Detroit. One was that 01-02 Cup where he was the starter, and the other one was the 07-08 Cup when he wasn't the starter.
Back up.
His award room looks like 6 All-Star teams, 6 Vezinas, 3 William M. Jennings, 2 Hart Trophies, and 2 Ted Lindsays. So Dominic Hasek is number 12.
He came that close to winning that cup in Buffalo against Dallas. And yes, there's a lot of Buffalo fans who think that goal that Brett Hull scored to win that cup should not have counted because of the way the rule was being called as far as being in the crease when you touch the puck.
Oh yeah.
And so there was a lot. I mean, it was really close. I was really rooting for Buffalo that year, and it was sad to see them lose that. But yeah, it is what it is. And Dominic Hasek was one of the best goalies ever, not just in the last 45. Yeah. So,
oh, for sure. Was that the 98-90 Cup?
I don't remember. No, it was.
Had,
it
like,
was.
Paul,
it was
Paul and Madonna and Nieuwendijk and Belfour and all those guys. Or is that?
That was. That was later. It was after 93.
Okay, so probably that one then.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, before we hit the top 10 next week, we have Alex Ovechkin, the great
eight. Ooh, number 11.
Number 11 of the last 4 or 5 years. Alex Ovechkin sits here, not because of his postseason resume. We all know that sucks. But because he is the greatest goal scorer ever.
Yeah.
His stat lines look like this. 1,369 games, 96 games played, all for the Washington Capitals.
Yep.
836 goals, 686 assists for a total of 1,522 points. He led the league in points once and goals. He led the league in goals 9 times in 16 years. Mm-hmm. Crazy. But again, his postseason success is not great. He made the playoffs 14 years out of the possible 16, so that's not great. He played 147 games and put up 141 points. He won the one Stanley Cup in 17-18, in which he won the Conn Smythe. But his loss in the first round, he's lost in the first round 7 times and lost in the second round 6 times. 2 of those against the Penguins. Or no, 3 of those was against
three,
the Penguins, right?
3 against the Penguins.
Yeah.
No, 4. But no,
he
3.
Just doesn't have
3.
The juice in the playoffs. Yeah. Yeah. 3. So, Ovi. Is that number
11? I'm okay with that.
And that is 35 out of the last 45 players of the last 45 years. Come back next week where you'll get 10 through 5.
6.
Or should we do 10 through
10 through 6?
Yeah, 10 through 6. Or should we do 10 through 4 and then do the final 3 and spend a while talking about the top 3? Because
so you want to do?
We'll figure it out.
We could also do. 10, 9, and 8, then 7, 6, and 5, and then do the last 5, 4, and 3, and then do the last 2.
We could do that.
We can stretch this out. Stretch this out until the playoffs.
We could. We could go 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 for all I care.
Yeah, in the next 10 weeks, we'll do one a week.
All right, thank you guys so much for listening to Random Crap We Want to Talk About. Let me know if you have any issues with the list.
Yeah.
You probably do.
All right.
All these Atlanta Thrasher fans. Put Marian Hossa higher. Put Marian Hossa higher.
No. Did Marian Hossa's picture is he in a
He's in Atlanta.
Is he in a Thrasher jersey? There he is. Yeah.
Right here next to Tuukka Rask.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4 Penguins so far on the list. We all know there's gonna be at least one more.
Maybe two.
Well, no, we know there's got to be 2 more. Crosby has to make the list somehow.
Yeah.
Unless I just absolutely brutally chop Mario Lemieux out of the list.
Yeah. Do that.
That would be funny.
Do that. I will drive to Indiana and kick your butt.
But yeah, I think here in this graphic, I think every team is represented at least once. At least I hope so. I tried to do it.
Sweet.
Where did the Thrashers move? Oh, well, there were the
Winnipeg
Jets now.
Winnipeg Jets. Yeah. All right.
That's right.
So moving on to predictions. Abigail had a great week.
Yeah, she did.
She went 4 for 5 and got an overtime exact score. She got 8 points this week. So she now leads. Like I said, go ahead.
We don't need to talk about this. She's not here.
She's in the lead with 57 points. Jim is in second with 53. I went 3 for 5 this week. Andrew went 2 for 5 this week. So he's at 48.
Who knew that Tampa Bay was going to lose to Boston?
Beat Boston, you mean?
Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Me neither. I picked Boston to win that game. Apparently Abby is got a time machine.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Bogus, man.
We'll see how she does this week. That's where we are. Just to update everybody on the percentages, as a team, we're 53.3 picking the right team. I still lead percentage wise. I just don't lead point wise. So percentage wise, I'm 57.8, Abby's at 54.4, and Andrew's at 47.8. So not bad. As a team, we're doing well, and we're going to pick it up this week. I believe we're going to pick it up this week. We got some good games to pick this week, games that could go either way, but we'll see how things go. So Abby has the first pick. Here are the games we're picking this week. We're picking Philadelphia at New Jersey on Saturday, Los Angeles at Pittsburgh on Sunday, Dallas at Boston, which I think is going to be the game of the week, on Monday, and then Vancouver and Colorado on Tuesday, and then Montreal and Pittsburgh on Thursday. So, Abby has first pick. Her pick for the Philadelphia New Jersey game, she's picking Philadelphia to win that game 4-2. I have a little bit different take on that. I think New Jersey is going to win this game. I think they're going to win it in overtime. Being at home, I think I always like the home team to do a little bit better. And I think Philly and New Jersey are going to be pretty closely matched up. So I think that's going to be a 4-3 overtime win for New Jersey. Andrew, what do you
got? I've got New Jersey, but 6-3, man. Frick Philly, man.
Okay.
I hate them.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't disagree.
Plus, if you go back and listen, I'm still riding with New Jersey. I still got my $25 free bonus bet by using code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook on New Jersey to win the Stanley Cup and win the division. So we need them to come through, man.
Yeah, the division might be a stretch.
The division's gone.
But yeah, I think just get in, baby, right? I mean, that's all you got to do is get in.
Yeah. And right now they're like just sitting outside of the wild card, so it's possible.
Yeah, they're not far from that. They're what, only 2 points out. So, yeah. They're much better.
The playoffs.
They're in
New
much
Jersey's
better
the team I'm riding dine with.
They're in much better shape than Pittsburgh is, to be sure. All right, next game on Sunday, the Kings at the Penguins. Abby's taking Los Angeles to win this game 3-2 in overtime. I think Pittsburgh's going to win this game 4-2. What do you got, Andrew?
I've got 5-4 in OT, man.
5-4 OT for the Pens? Penguins?
For the Pens.
All right.
Penguinos.
All right. Monday, Dallas at Boston. Abby, of course.
Game of the week.
She's going to pick Dallas, right?
Yeah, no, it's Dallas.
She says 5-4, so she thinks it's going to be close. I don't think it's going to be close. I think it's Boston 5-2.
Whoa, no, I got Boston 3-2 in OT.
3-2 OT. All right, Vancouver at Colorado. Abby's got Colorado winning 4-2. I have Colorado winning 5-4 in overtime.
Hey, this is the first one that I stand solid alone on. I got my Canuckos 7-2.
Whoa, my goodness.
Hey, Canucks have the firepower, man.
They do. All right, and the last game we're going to pick this week is Montreal at Pittsburgh on Thursday. Abby has Pittsburgh winning 3-2 in overtime. I have Pittsburgh winning 4-2 with a late empty net goal. Andrew, who you got?
Pittsburgh 3-2 in overtime, and I wrote those down before I looked at her prediction.
3-2 in overtime. Okay. All right, so here's the predictions for this coming week. Philadelphia at New Jersey. Jim and Andrew both pick in New Jersey. Jim says 3-4 in overtime. Andrew says 6-3. Abby has Philadelphia winning 4-2. The Kings at the Penguins. Abby has the Kings winning 3-2 in overtime. Andrew and Jim both have Pittsburgh winning 5-4 in overtime for Andrew, 4-2 for Pittsburgh. Dallas at Boston. Abby's picking Dallas to win 5-4. Andrew and Jim, Boston. Jim 5-2. Andrew 3-2 in overtime. Vancouver at Colorado on Tuesday. Colorado is being chosen by Abby and Jim. Abby says 4-2. Jim says 5-4 in overtime. And Andrew says Vancouver crushing Colorado 7-2. And then finally, Montreal at Pittsburgh on Thursday. Everybody's picking Pittsburgh. Jim 4-2. Abby and Andrew both 3-2 in overtime. And we will see how that's our predictions for week 20. Nice. And Andrew needs a good week. Andrew needs a good week to come back.
I feel I'm going 5-0 with a couple OT predictions correct. So that would give me what? If I went 5-0.
If you went 5-0 and got both overtime predictions correct, you would have 13 points. That would put you at
Abby, since she picked against 61. In most of those games, Abby would only have 1 point. Unless one of the OT predictions was correct, was the Montreal-Pittsburgh game, which we both agreed was 3-2 in overtime. Then she would have 4 points. I would have 13, and I would be in first place.
No, actually, she'd have points. She'd have 5 points. You'd have 13. So you would pick up 8 points on her, and you'd only be down one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd still be down after that?
Yep.
That's brutal.
If she gets a five pointer and you get 15, no, 13, you only gain 8 and you're down 9.
That's true.
But at least you get back in it. So
Hopefully the OT winners aren't the Montreal Canadiens Pittsburgh one. So
we
can pray for that one. Anyway.
All right.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Pens and Stuff podcast. It's been a blast. We had some heartfelt moments. We had some, great list moments. We've had some heated debate. No, there's no heated debates.
No heated debates today.
But come back next week where you will hear a couple more people on the list. We don't know how many yet.
Yeah.
And Abby will be back, hopefully.
Hopefully.
As long as she doesn't break the Sabbath. But until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Jim.
And for Abby, let's go Pens.
Let's go Pens. Let's freaking go.
Go, boys.
Boys.